Welcome to Bible Center Church, and thank you so much for joining us on BC Podcast. Here's a message to encourage your heart this week.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Bible Center. I'm Mike, so happy to be with you all. I want to take a moment and celebrate some of the things that God did in and through our Easter service last week. We had over 2,400 folks here on this campus, which is about 500 more than we've had the last couple years. So thank you for inviting folks. Thank you for giving. Thank you for praying. People heard about Jesus. We had 15 to 20 folks stick their hand up and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. So lives were changed last week. So celebrate what he's done. And I thank you for you participating, you inviting folks. Big deal. Really thankful for that. This morning, we are going to continue working through our gospel series, our Easter gospel series called Made New. Made New. We're talking about the radical change that happens in the life of someone who places their faith in Jesus. This morning, our focus is Jesus transforms. Jesus transforms. But leading up to this week, we first looked at God creates. And what we learned in that series, in that sermon from the passages back in Genesis, is that God designed us and made us in his image. He made us in his image so that we would be made by him and for him. He uniquely designed us to have a relationship with him, that he would be kind of the center of everything we care about. When the Pharisees pushed Jesus about the greatest commandment, Jesus' response to them is that we are called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. So when God uniquely designed us to be like him, to have a relationship with him, those five areas, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, physically, and even relationally, he designed us to have those components that we might know him and love him with all of that. But the next two words are sin breaks. As we go a little bit farther in Genesis, we see that Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And because of that, we are also born with a sinful nature. Passively, we are born with a sinful nature and desires that are against God. But also, actively, we each sin against God, whether it's with our words, our motivations, our desires, our relationships. We actively sin against God. We are part of the rebellion. Sin breaks. It breaks that relationship. But then last week, which is a celebratory week, we talked about Jesus saves. So even though we broke that relationship, the Father sends Jesus. Jesus becomes a man. And in doing so, he takes on those different characteristics. And he walks on earth, loves God, does not sin, and steps into our place and onto a cross. Jesus bears the consequences of our sin, and then he raises from the dead on the third day. We celebrate that resurrection, and then after the resurrection, Jesus offers forgiveness and salvation to anyone and everyone who will believe, anyone who will confess Jesus is Lord, is saved according to Scripture. Not based on you, but based on him. And we celebrate that, and then in that secure relationship now found in Jesus, we're ready to have the conversation that Jesus transforms. It's in that secure relationship that Jesus puts his hands into our life and begins to mold us and shape us to be more like him, to mold us and to shape us to be able to love him more with every part of our being. That's not always an easy process, but it's a process that Jesus promised he would do. When he first met some of his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, right as they were fishing, he walks up to them and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Follow me. So step one is to follow Jesus, and hopefully you this morning have placed your faith in Jesus and you follow Jesus. There's this next stage, though, where we're called to be made by Jesus into something else. He promises them, when you follow me, you will not be the same. I'm going to change you. I'm going to grow you. I'm going to transform you. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he who began a good work in you, Jesus, salvation, will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So there's a day when Jesus comes back. And there was a day when you placed your faith in him and that good work began in you. But between there and the end, there's this process of growth and change and transformation, and Jesus is committed to it. So when we turn to Romans chapter 8, which is where we're going to spend the majority of our time, we're going to see how Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, works in all those different areas of our life to grow us, to change us, to transform us, to be more like him. So in Romans chapter 8, which I think this is the first time I've gotten to preach out of Romans 8, so I'm very excited about it. We see Jesus working in and through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Jesus has this interesting conversation with the disciples before he departs, before he's put on the cross in John chapter 16. He's walking with them. He's starting to tell them, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to return to my Father. I'm going to die. They're overwhelmed by the thought. But then Jesus says this in verse 7 of John 16. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I'm leaving, which would have been hard for them to understand and hard for them to believe. It's to your advantage, disciples, that I am leaving. For if I do not leave, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It is better when I go, because I will send him. The disciples are literally walking beside Jesus through life. They eat together. They sleep in the same location together. They're watching him teach and talk and preach and heal and do miracles. Like, they're living life with Jesus. And Jesus still says, the experience you're having now is not as good as when I send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. That will be better for you. So the disciples are living life, experiencing walking beside Jesus. But he says, one day, my Spirit lives in you. And him living in you is even better than me walking beside you. Powerful. So what Jesus is saying is, being a Christian in 2025 who knows Jesus and has the Holy Spirit, that's better than walking beside Jesus by the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. It's hard to believe, but that's what Jesus says. So let's jump into the work of the Spirit in our lives. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5, our first point is set on the Spirit. And as we work through these set of verses, we're going to see Jesus working in each of these distinct areas of our life. The first place he works is in our intellectual part, in our mindset. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, they have their mind set on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on things of the Spirit. Now, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it's unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we see this move that Christ is calling us to towards intellectual sanctity, because there's only two options here, the flesh and the Spirit. He's saying, say no to this and say yes to thinking and living this way. When he talks about mindset here, he's talking about basically the direction of the will in a person. It often refers to someone's whole existence, their priorities, their values, going in a certain direction, your mindset. And out of that mindset, that goal, that direction, your values, come your thoughts. What you think about is based upon your mindset. For many people, when we're talking about thoughts, your thoughts may feel overwhelming to you. You may wish you had less thoughts. 3 a.m., you're like, could the thoughts just turn off? Perhaps your thoughts feel uncontrollable at times. Maybe it's from your thoughts that you feel some anxiety, some stress. Maybe it's because of your thoughts you have a hard time getting out of bed at times. You just wish they would stop. And there's others who might say, I have no idea what I thought about today. They thoughtlessly think all day long. They just kind of go through life and just do the things, and they're not processing at all. And you know some of those folks. You may be one of them. You think if you put your ear by their ear, you just wonder if they're static, like that kind of a sound in the background. But there's lots of different places when it comes to what we do with our thoughts. But what this passage is saying here is slow down. focus on your thoughts. Pay some attention to your thoughts. What's going on in your mind? Because there's no middle ground with these thoughts. Are they thoughts based on the flesh, or are they thoughts coming from the spirit? They're one or the other. So your thoughts matter. In verse 6 it says, the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. So if your thoughts are coming from the Holy Spirit, then they're going to be characterized by life and peace. When it says life there, we know from John and from Scripture that Jesus ultimately is the life. So when it comes to your thoughts, and you have all kinds of thoughts, thoughts about your career, thoughts about your schedule, what you're going to get done today, thoughts about your priorities, thoughts about your family, probably every single relationship in your family runs through your mind and you're processing those. Perhaps it's your hobbies, perhaps it's things that you're trying to achieve in your day-to-day life. There are thoughts that are going through your mind all the time. But the question is Jesus being incorporated or included into those thoughts? The mindset of the Spirit is life. It's focused on the life. It's focused on Jesus. So when you're thinking through your career, are you including Jesus in those thoughts? When you're thinking through your friendships, your hobbies, the things you want to do, your schedule, are you including Jesus into those thoughts? You might find that that takes a little effort. You might find that it doesn't just happen naturally. You're going to need to actually pause and think through, what are the thoughts that are occupying my mind and my energy and my time? And am I including Jesus into those thoughts? So it says the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. In the book of Romans, when it comes to the thought of peace, though that word has lots of depth to it, oftentimes the context there is reconciling, where there's hostility. Jesus reconciles and brings peace there where there was hostility. In your life, when it comes to your thoughts, there are things that you're thinking about that are not reconciled to Jesus. There are likely things in your life that you're prioritizing that Jesus doesn't prioritize. There's likely longings, desires, priorities, values that aren't in line with Jesus. We all have those. So part of having your mindset coming from the Spirit instead of your flesh is that you're taking those things that don't line up to the Lordship of Jesus and you're reconciling them to the reality of the Lordship of Jesus, where there's now hostility between what you want and what Jesus wants. You're saying, nope. In the power of the Spirit, I want my thoughts, my desires to line up with the Lordship of Jesus. You reconcile those things under Jesus, who is the life. So there's two questions I'd love for you to kind of take with you this afternoon and to process. One is, how can I include Jesus into my thoughts and areas of my life? When you're laying there, 3 a.m. or in the afternoon, or you're taking a walk, when you just kind of process what's going on in your head, do you find yourself connecting Jesus to the things you're focused on? Do you find yourself including him on the things that you care about? Is Jesus a part of your thought process? If not, ask Jesus to work on that. Think about it. Focus on it. The second question is, how can I reconcile the things and people in my life to Jesus? You might have people in your life that don't yet know Jesus. When it comes to your mindset and what you're focused on, is that person a part of your thoughts and your prayers and your concern? Are you thinking about that person? Are you wanting that person to be reconciled to Jesus under the lordship of him? So when it comes to this transition from our thoughts coming from our flesh and our desires versus coming from the Spirit looks like including Jesus. The Spirit looks like reconciling all things to him. In our second point, life in the Spirit, verses 9 through 13, we see this spiritual surety, this spiritual surety. Now, when we were processing, we're going to do a little bit of a rabbit trail here for a second. When we were processing through these 10 words, when it came to these words, the question we had was, should we say Jesus transforms, or is it more theologically accurate, because we care about that, to say the Spirit transforms. Is it Jesus transforms or the Spirit transforms? These next two verses, I want you to look at them with me, and let's try to figure out what the answer is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "And as I read descriptions of the Spirit, listen to those descriptions." We're talking about the Trinity here. So it's something that's beyond our grasp, beyond what we can understand, but the Lord isn't silent on it. We see the Trinity in action. We see his nature described and talked about. We will see it here. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you." So the Holy Spirit there is called the Spirit and the Spirit of God. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, referencing the same being, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, same reference point. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So it's accurate to say the Holy Spirit lives in you. It's accurate to say the Spirit of God lives in you. It's accurate to say the Spirit of Christ lives in you. It's accurate to say Jesus lives in you. And as we go through Romans 8, all the things that are happening because of God's presence in your life can be attributed to each one and all of them. So Jesus does transform, and the Spirit does transform, and the Father does transform. So we just had to pick one. The Spirit transforms adds an extra word. It's hard to say the 11 words of the gospel. So we went with Jesus transforms, but all of them can be said. All right, off the rabbit trail. In verse 10, it says, "Now if Christ is in you, the body, your physical body, is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness." We're talking about spiritual surety here, something we can be sure of. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Not your righteousness. The word righteousness here means a right standing before God. And what we've learned in Romans up to this point is because of the work of Jesus, if you place your faith in him, he gives you his righteousness. Not your righteousness. It's based upon what Jesus has done, not based upon what you and I do. So this righteousness means we have a right standing before God. We meet God's holy standard because of Jesus. And this standard that we meet, you can't lose it. You can't add to it. You can't subtract from it because it's not based on you. It's based on Jesus. You've been given his righteousness if you've placed your faith in him. So what this means is you can always approach God. That door is always, always open. The safest place you can be is in the presence of God. The place where you can feel most at home is in the presence of God because of Jesus. You are spiritually secure. You are paid for. You are beloved. You are accepted. It's a sure thing. There's security in Jesus. And it's from this security in Jesus that we can now trust him when he takes his hand and puts it into our life and begins to change things. Sometimes for Jesus to change things, he needs to break them a little. He has to meddle in a divine way into our life. So on our good days, we can trust Jesus as he changes us because of this sure foundation, his righteousness. On our bad days, and you're gonna have bad days, you might be having one today, you can trust Jesus and his hands in your life working on you and changing you and transforming you on your very worst day. You still know that you have Jesus's righteousness, your relationship is sure and secure, and you can trust the hand of Jesus in your life, working in and through his Spirit to grow you and change you. You stand on the work of Jesus. You have his righteousness. And now he's ready to do the work that he's promised to do. So we see this spiritual surety. We also see this physical spirituality. Sometimes we have this tendency to kind of view the body as one thing and then our spirit, our emotions, and our intellect as something else, that they're disconnected from one another. I mean, even medically, we see that just not to be true. When your heart is overwhelmed, sometimes your body is exhausted. Like there's this interconnection, there's this overlap in the way God has designed us. And we see it here in verses 11 through 13. So it says, And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So from these verses, and there's a lot here, there's a couple things that stand out to me. Number one, I now have a new status. Before we knew Jesus, we were obligated to sin. We were living in rebellion to God. We were hostile to him. The Bible says we were his enemies. So no matter what we said, what we did on our own, it was sin. It was against him. It was a challenge to his rulership. All of it. It was life in the flesh. But now what it says is you are not obligated to the flesh. You no longer have to live out the things that your body desires. We're no longer slaves to that. Now, you still feel it. As long as we're in these bodies, you still feel that desire, that longing to think things, to feel things, to do things that aren't what Jesus wants. You feel that desire to be something, to want something that God doesn't want you to be or wants you to have. We all feel that in our thoughts, our desires, our longings. It's still there. It's still calling to us. Think back to your worst job. Think back to your worst boss. I've got a couple of rough ones. The ones I work for now are great. Okay, totally random story. This is not connected at all. Shouldn't share this. Too late. So I remember I worked at Wendy's. This really doesn't fit in. I worked at Wendy's. I remember this boss. She was odd. She asked me if I wanted to see her tattoo on her leg. I said, not really. And she said, it's a wolf. And I said, now I'm interested. So she pulls up her pant leg and she goes, she grew out all the hair on the wolf head. And she goes, you want to touch it? I said, no. So there are bosses that you think about and you have horrible thoughts about that. Like, that was a traumatic moment. That wasn't what I was going to talk about. So I also worked for a delivery service. And I won't mention which one that was. But to get all the packages where they needed to go, in the right truck at the right time, you had to have bosses who would push on you super hard. And if you made a mistake, you got written up immediately. Like, there was no grace involved. Like, every mistake was, like, doubled down on. Now, if that dude, I don't work for that company anymore. That person's not my boss. Neither is the wolf lady. If either one of them called me today and said, I need you to put some boxes on a shelf, or I need you to cook some more cheeseburgers, do I have to listen to them? Thank you. No, I don't have to listen to them because I no longer work for them. They aren't my master. They're not my boss. So even for you, when you feel that desire to do things that you're not called to do, when you feel that longing to prioritize something that's different than Jesus' priorities, you are no longer obligated to take that phone call. Your old master is no longer your boss. According to Romans 8, if you know Jesus, your new boss is Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. You can say no to that. So you have a new status. You're no longer obligated. You also have a new situation. It says in verse 11, he who raised Christ from the dead will promise also bring your mortal bodies to life through the Spirit. So this body, your body, is going to experience death one day. One day, this body will return to dust. So will yours. And that road from here to dust, we've all been on it, we're on it right now, is a bumpy road, right? There's some potholes. That is a rough journey to go from what you are back to what you became, what you came from, dust. So there's a part of that that feels overwhelming. There's some sadness to that. There's loss to that. And without Jesus, that's the end as far as you get it. But what the promise here is that not only does that body die, but there's a new glorious body that raised Jesus from the dead that will raise you from the dead. A body that's designed to live with God forever, glorious and eternal. So every day, you and I are one step closer to dust. But at the same time, every single day, I am one step closer to eternal glory with God. Both of those things are now true. So there's a tension. I don't look forward to dust, but I do look forward to eternity with God. So now there's this tension that we live in. There's a secure relationship, righteous in Christ, justified by him, made new, and then there's a tension. And in that tension, Jesus inserts himself, and he puts his hands into your life, and he molds you, and he shapes you, and he changes you, and he transforms you from the inside out. So, the spiritual reality of forever, that forever body, helps you and I say no to sin today. When we can keep our eyes on that promise that one day we get to be with him forever in a new body, this body is not obligated to sin. That body can't sin. Sin is gone. That equation changes. No more sin. That's the body that's coming. So we can have hope now and say, I'm not obligated to sin. I actually don't want to do the things that this body wants to do because I can't wait for that next body. It changes our perspective. The spiritual reality of forever helps you and I say no to the temptations of sin today. And the third point is led by the Spirit. So set on the Spirit, life by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. We now see some relational security. Verse 14 says, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies, together with our spirit, that we are indeed God's children. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So, in this text, there's several things that stick out. Number one, that if you know Jesus, you are now a son or daughter of God. There's a permanent relationship that now takes place. It's permanent. Also, because you're a son or daughter of God, you are now heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. So you now also have a royal position. A permanent relationship in a royal position that can't be altered, can't be changed. And you've been given this Holy Spirit, who in this passage is called the Spirit of Adoption. He does the work. He adopted you to be a son or daughter. He did it. It says the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. So he's in your life right now saying, you know him. You're a child. You've placed your faith in him. The Spirit is confirming that in your life. And it also says the Spirit cries out. So in our relationship with the Father, the Spirit enters in and reminds us, he's your father, he's your dad. Cry out, daddy. So the Holy Spirit is at work to make this relationship secure. Spirit of adoption, Spirit who testifies, Spirit who cries out. If you ever think, as you have other Christians in your life, that there's that one Christian in your life, you're like, they're just better than I am. They're better at this Christian thing. They check all the boxes. They do all the things. Ugh, God must love them more. That is not true. You are just as much a son or daughter of the King as that person. Or you may think, boy, I'm a lot better than a lot of the other Christians I know. That also is not true. They're also sons and daughters of the King, just like you. There's an even ground in that relationship. So, there's that one little phrase in this passage where it says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. We received the spirit of adoption, not the spirit of slavery. If you fall back into fear, it's because you are misaligned with the Holy Spirit. You don't understand how he's speaking and working in your life. If you think back to the Garden of Eden, they sinned. And then when God showed up in the garden, what did they do? They jumped in a bush, right? They jumped in a bush. God's like, where are you? And they're like, we're hiding, okay? Because of fear. So because of that broken relationship with God, they hide. You have this spirit of adoption. He testifies to the fact that you are a child of God. He cries out in and through you to the Father. You don't need to be afraid. God is not mad at you. God's not angry. You have an open door in front of you. The front light of the house is always open. You just walk through the door. Being in God's presence is the safest place you can be. That is home for the Christian, because you're with Dad, the one who will protect you and take care of you, the one who loves you. You don't need to fall back into fear. You have a permanent relationship, a royal position, and the Holy Spirit's confirming that at all times in your life. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says the same thing in a different way. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things in the present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So you are loved by God because of Christ Jesus. And there's nothing you can do now if you've placed your faith in him to lose that. You might think, well, what if I just walk away? What if I'm extra sinful? Nor any other created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God. You're a created thing. This is bigger than you now. It's a Jesus thing. It's not a you thing. You now have Jesus. He protects you. His righteousness, not yours. That doesn't change. Well, you might think, well, in the future, I may really mess up. So I'm nervous about that relationship. It says, nothing present nor things to come. You can't do it, and the future can't do it. You're secure in Jesus. So we've worked on perspective a little bit here, eternal perspective, our perspective of in this moment, we stand in his righteousness. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us confirming that and crying out through us. So now we look at this last component, this emotional component of our life. In verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to or comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." The Spirit brings security in our relationship now and forever. And because of that, because we begin to trust more in Jesus, not in us for that relationship, we recognize that the relationship wasn't grounded on us, founded on us, it won't be continued because of us, it's because of him. I can breathe and I can rest in that relationship. So when something hard comes, and we all have sufferings, if I handed out pieces of paper and I said, write down 5 areas where you're experiencing some suffering, all of you would be able to get to number 5. Some of you would ask for additional pieces of paper, okay? Because there's stuff in your life that are hard right now. But what he's saying here is in light of this relationship and the eternal nature of this relationship, you can go through those sufferings. He goes on to say they're not even comparable to what is to come. What happens to us is if we forget about what is to come and we get focused on the thing in front of us, the thing that's bothering us, that's annoying, that's hard, that's painful in the moment. And the whole focus of chapter 8 here is you got to get bigger than the moment. This is a Jesus thing. This is a forever thing, which allows us with some emotional stability to go back to the moment and say, I can have some patience right now because I see this thing in light of the big thing. You can have some perspective on the little thing. This is hard today. In fact, it's going to be hard until I return to dust. But on the other side of dust, I'm renewed, restored, and changed forever. So I can get through this today. It creates some evenness in your life as hardship comes and suffering comes. But when you take your eye off forever, when you take your eye off Jesus and this forever reality of being with him because of him now and forever, we get overwhelmed with today. If you think about an athlete, maybe you are an athlete, maybe you are an athlete and you have some goal in mind. The only way you're going to achieve that goal, win that medal, achieve that time, is by going through some hard days of training. You're gonna have to go through hard stuff to get to where you wanna be. And when you achieve that goal, you're not gonna look back and say, oh, What a terrible thing. I had to work so hard. You're going to be so excited. You'll see the benefit of the hard days, of the hard work. It's a little bit about what our sufferings are like. When you climb a mountain and you get to the top and you look out, you don't think about how hard the climb was. You think about how beautiful the end was. That's how this works. It's perspective. It's seeing it from the back end because it's going to change everything. So Jesus transforms. He faithfully works through the Spirit in you every single day. He has promised to make you into something different. He gives you this secure relationship. It's promised. It's guaranteed. He gives you this secure forever. It's promised. It's guaranteed. Then he also promises and guarantees to be involved in your life today, to not let you stay the same, to grow you, to change you, to transform you today. So there's this intellectual sanctity that he calls us to, where we bring Jesus into everything. When it comes to our thoughts, include Jesus, incorporate Jesus. There's this physical spirituality that you and I are no longer obligated to sin. We serve a different master. We serve Jesus now. There's this spiritual surety found in the righteousness of Jesus himself. There's relational security as God's child, a royal position that will never change. So because of those things, we can have this emotional stability, trusting in God in present-day sufferings, knowing what is to come. So here's my challenge for the week. I would like you to pray three words: Jesus, change me. I would like you repeatedly this week to pause and to say to Jesus, Jesus, change me. If you listen to your prayers, and if they're anything like mine, mine are typically more words. Jesus, change that annoying person who I have to deal with tomorrow. Like, those are the type of things I pray for. Jesus, change my circumstances. Jesus, change my situation. Jesus, make things easier for me. Jesus, lighten my load. Those aren't all bad. But I would like you to start with this. Jesus, change me. He's promised to do so. Pray that it would be so. Let's talk to him. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for Jesus. Celebrating Easter is a reminder of the righteousness that you've given us because of you, not because of us. I thank you that we're relationally secure in you. We can't lose our salvation. We're sure in you. I thank you for our forever. And tomorrow, I can't wait to preach and talk about that, what it will be like to be with you forever in glory. And because of that day, we can get through these days. Put suffering in the right perspective. And Jesus, you've promised to keep working on us and changing us. I ask that you would change each of us. I pray that we'd be dedicated this week to asking for you to work in us. In Christ's name, amen.
For more information, visit us at BibleCenterChurch.com and give us a follow on all platforms at Bible Center.